being a social worker, I see a lot of tough situations. You know, students who've lost parents already at first, second grade. You can be angry, but don't make a bad choice with being angry. You know, who can I meet today? And what can I do to change someone's life? You know, and realty really allows you to do that, right? It's a grind. Wrestling is a grind. And that's how I attack life. I attack life. I grind. I work. I try to work really hard. I try to go. I don't cut any corners. I don't want to cut a corner. If it's 25 pushups, I'm going to make sure I do 25 good pushups. One interaction in life can just, it can traject your whole life into a different area, you know?
Welcome to the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
What up, Elite fam? Welcome to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. I'm Kylie.
I'm Trish.
And with us is our friend, Kevin.
Kevin sells houses by day, coaches wrestlers by night, and still somehow finds time to change lives in between. How are you doing, Kev?
I'm doing great. I am so thankful to be on, ladies. It's going to be a fun episode. Let's get down to business. Let's talk selling. Let's talk buying. Let's talk life in general.
I love the energy. Yes. Let's go. Oh my goodness, this is going to be so amazing. So Kevin is a realtor with Elite Realty here in Cass City, the wrestling coach, podcasting, social school.
How about you tell us about you? That'll be a lot easier than us telling them about you.
Yeah, start at the beginning, the end.
All right, I won't skip any of the dirty little details, but buckle up because here we go. So Mr. Dorland, myself, Kevin with two V's and two E's, so you better remember it. I'm one and only. I was born in 1992, which makes me 33 years young. I was born in July the 23rd. 23 is my favorite number. There's a couple of fun facts about me. Stay with me because here we go. So I am born and raised in Cass City, Michigan. I live in Cass City currently for professionalism or whatever. I know I had all these high expectations for myself, but then I would cut myself short. So if I could say anything, Kevin, do it better. Even if you're getting all A's, still do it better. Because you can always do it better at 33, do it better at 45. You can always do 15th year you've been in real estate. Whatever the case may be, just do it better.
Oh, I love
that.
That's
good.
Yeah. Speaking of young boys, what's your favorite thing to do with Carson activity?
So Carson, he loves sports. He's a sports guy. So we love to play catch. He loves playing catch. I would say that's his favorite thing to do. He is a diehard fan of NFL football, football in general. He just loves sports. I mean, since he was really, really little, we've played catch with baseball or football, or it doesn't matter if it's taking a bouncy ball and making a game out of it. I enjoy doing that with him. I enjoy being a part of his day that I can, because being a parent is added to the family. So, but so thankful. My parents are still married. They've been married for 43 years. Tom and Kathy, shout out to them. I've grown up having to be pretty tough, right? Brothers and sister, and wrestling's been a big part of my life. We're going to talk about that later. But just growing up in Cass City, it was always, my parents just held a high standard. We were always held to a high standard. You're gonna be a good kid. You're gonna work hard. You're gonna, you know, nothing in life's gonna come easy, and you're gonna do everything you can to make the best life you can. So that's kind of what I reciprocate to my professional life now. I did graduate from high school. I graduated in 2010 from Cass City, and then transitioned into college life. Between Delta, Saginaw Valley, and Baker College, I did end up with a bachelor's degree in human services. And people are just my life. I love people. I like to meet people. I like to study people and understand their stories. I just love stories. I love people, right? So I've been adopted into the Elite Life. My full-time job, I work as a social worker at Cassidy Elementary School out here in the Thumb. So I do that by day. And then in the afternoon when school releases about 3:15, the phone calls start to come in and the emails, and I turn into a realtor as fast as I can some days. And other days I just kind of come home and relax. But my pride and joy is my son, Carson. He is 8 years old. So I'll be the first to admit it. I had a child out of wedlock. That was a big throw my life upside down. So I'm very blessed in a lot of ways. I don't make a million, although I would love to, but I know if I keep working hard and keep good people like Elite Life and the Elite Life podcast around me, I'm going to get where I want to be. So that's Kevin with two V's and two E's from Cassidy, Michigan. And I am also a Michigan fan. So go Blue.
I love you so much.
There's so much to unpack there.
A lot.
Do you feel like, because you shared that, like, your mom and dad were very, like, you're going to be a good kid. Here is how to be a productive member of society. Do you think that that played, you know, when a big role in how you handled those pivots and those life transitions that you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my mom and dad were always storytellers, right? Well, when we were first married, you know, we had to rent a home and, you know, we had to do this. We had to go outside in the blizzard to cut wood, to heat the wood stove because, you know, things were tough. We weren't making very much and dad was doing odd and end jobs and mom was trying to get the education role she was in flowing and get a full-time job. So it wasn't easy. It just wasn't easy. And, you know, the kids kept coming and the bills kept piling up, but my parents just, they did the best they could and gave us the best we could. And I would say we grew up, I wouldn't say we were low class, but I think we were just middle class people, you know? So I have a really good heart in regards to, I know where a lot of people have been. Being a social worker, I see a lot of tough situations, you know, students who've lost parents already at first, second grade, and just parents who are incarcerated. And I live in the Thumb, right? I'm not down by you guys, Livonia, you know, Macomb County, that kind of stuff. That it's just Macomb County, sorry. Just being down there is a different environment than up here. So I'm kind of just a breath of fresh air, I guess you could call me in regards to Elite. When I show up to the Christmas party, me and my Rebecca, I'll call her, we do things a lot differently out here, but I love the environment. I love the culture. I love all that. And a lot of it just is, you know, my mom and dad are just, you know, treat people with kindness. You can be angry, but don't make a bad choice with being angry, you know, prove them wrong and work hard and put your nose down and work hard and you'll get to where you want to be.
And that's working because you are our rookie of the year. So how amazing is that? And I can't like send kudos enough because you obviously have a smaller pool or pond to fish from and you still absolutely knocked it out of the park. And the positivity and the energy that flows through you is definitely the reason. I remember Rebecca said, like, you guys don't have a mayor, but if you did, you would be the mayor.
I do get called the mayor of Cassidy. We do not formally have that title, but I like to be involved. I like to be involved in everything and anything that I can be. You know, there's so many hours in the day that I try to fill with as much as I can. I like to relax, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, it's who can I meet today and what can I do to change someone's life? You know, and realty really allows you to do that, right? Finding that home or selling that home that they've known for 20, 30, 40 years, their whole life and starting over fresh. It's just, it takes a lot of social work characteristics to be a good realtor. And I think for my first year, I felt like I hit it out of the park and I was honored to be the rookie of the year. Rebecca says I got the better trophy and I won't deny that, but she sells a lot more than I do. And I learn a lot from her as well.
So I would love to, because we've heard bits and pieces, I would love to hear the story of how you got into real estate, because when I meet other agents, whether they're with our Elite fam or they're from elsewhere, like, it's always fascinating to me when you hear, you know, how people came into real estate, because everybody's story is
like, what's
different.
The aha moment? Like, yeah, I want to do this even though I'm so busy and doing all these
right,
other
like,
things.
Where, how did you get to the place where you're like, okay, we're doing real estate?
Well, it's kind of a crazy story. Let's start with
I love
crazy. Let's just start with my, let's start with my personality, right? I will go talk to anybody. I will say hi to anybody. I will ask anybody what size shoe they wear and where they got their shoes from, right? So that was always a part of conversation. So I've had people in my past be like, you know, you do really well at doing something like this, or, you know, just suggestion, right? And a lot of times real estate was one of those topics, like, hey, you'd be a really good realtor. You could sell houses. I think you do a great job. And I'm like, yeah, I'd probably sell cars before I'd sell houses. You know, it's just, there's just an easier avenue there than there is to real estate. Right. So I got asked and I got asked. And when you ask me something, I'm one of them people that keeps it in the back of my mind. When you tell me, or you say I can do something, or you deny it and say, hey, I don't think you can do it, then that spark is in me. You know what I mean? So when the right place and the right time comes up, that's when I felt like, hey, it's time to strike while the iron was hot. So I met sweet Rebecca many, many years ago now, it seems like, but back in 2018, 2019, we crossed paths, and we're complimentary, right? Mm-hmm. I'm more of a jump in with both feet. I'm going to jump off the diving board first rather than learn to swim. Right. I'm going to just hit the ground running. I'm going in full force. Rebecca's going to say, well, that diving board is 6 feet off the ground. And if that water is probably 12 feet deep, and there could be a snapping turtle, there could be problems in there. And I'm more like, all right, we're going to deal with those problems after we jump in. Okay. We don't know until we jump in.
Drowning. We'll figure out the turtles while we're drowning.
Correct. If there's sharks, we'll figure it out, right? If we're going to get bit on our feet by clams or something, we'll figure it out. So I'm the figure it out kind of guy. She's more of the overthink and go for it sort of thing. So I kind of challenged her. I just got online and I said, hey, I knew deep in her heart she wanted to be involved, but she needed that. She needed that something. So me being me, I got online and I did some research and I said, okay, hey, here is a very affordable program that we could do to be realtors. And guess what? I just signed myself up. Where are you at? What are you doing? And she's
like, let's go. A little competition. And I know Rebecca, the quickest way to get her to do something is be like, bet.
Absolutely. So the bet was on and we worked together. And so she went through it. I went through it. She learns totally different than I do. She can just skim and scan and boom, boom, boom. And it sinks right in. Me, I'm more of a, man, I gotta, what does that mean? I gotta make it make sense. It has to make sense for me or else I don't get it. I'm a very people-y person. I'm a very clay type of guy. Like, you gotta show me that how the tire goes off and how the tire comes on, right? Whereas she's like, oh, I can just figure that out. So sweet Rebecca, lucky as she is. I mean, I tell you, if she sneezes, she can do something so well and so perfectly. Well, she sneezed and she passed the test. And I was just elated, right? She went and did it. We went and took it together our very first time. And of course, she passed and I didn't. So I was pretty devastated, but I was very happy at the same time for her. And I knew deep in my heart, like, okay, it's going to come. It'll happen. If the cards are going to be played right, it will happen. And so as the years went on, so Rebecca got through her whole first year of real estate without me. And I just felt behind and I was low. I felt very low. And I would say I was depressed at some points because I think I passed or I tried. I want to say it was three times. I was three strikes and I was out. I remember that very last time I said, Rebecca, I can't do it. You're going to be a millionaire and I'm going to be poor my whole life and it's never going to work out. Yeah. So I remember telling her that. I was just like, you know, I'm going to support you 100% with your real estate, but don't anticipate me being there because I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can make this happen. And so I kind of just let it go. I let it go. I let her succeed and do her beautiful things. And, you know, she was so successful and I got to go to the Elite Christmas party, even though I wasn't elite myself. And I love the environment. I love the people. And I was just like, you know, I think this is where I need to be. I just got to figure out how to get there. So we were at the Christmas party and I feel like, you know, the vibes were there. The fire was lit again. And, you know, I had failed. So Me being at school, I did some research, and during spring break, I hammered it out. So I found a different program, online learning, that fit my needs. I need videos. I need music. I need something to tell me something. I can't just read it out of a book. I can't read it off the screen. That's not my style. That's not me. But it helped Rebecca. So now I need to focus on what do I need? What can I do? So I think I started on a Monday, and by Friday I was ready to go. And I think I had the test almost lined up before I even ended the curriculum. So I went down there, and I think I told her that I was going to do that, but I knew that I didn't want to get my hopes up. I didn't want to make it a big thing. Prior to that, I would say, hey, I'm going to take my test. I would tell people, and just that devastation of failure was lingering. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to do that. I feel confident in myself. I went out and bought a couple extra books just to extra prepare. I mean, I was overdoing it, but I just, that last time I went in there and I didn't feel heavy. I didn't feel overwhelmed and stressed. I just felt like, you know what? I got this. I understand it. If you ask me how much an acre is, I will tell you. So telling about the acreage and whatnot, I just went in there and I went after it, and it worked out. I passed, and I knew I had passed. I felt so good, right? So I got out of there and I was just emotional. It was just like, I did do it. I can do it. This is going to be okay, you know, and it worked out. So that's how real estate and I became acquainted. It's not your normal everyday story, but it's my story, and I'm proud of it. If I had to go back and do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything, you know, because just getting put in those type of positions really helps you understand who you are as a person, and it creates resiliency, right? I feel like I've had to go through a lot of adversity in life, not as much as other people have, but we all handle it differently, right? So yeah, I'm just thankful. And, you know, I remember sending my information over to Trish, and I'm like, gosh, she probably doesn't remember me from the Christmas party, but hopefully she'll just hire me in and let's go, right? So you did. And that first year was great. I was busy and doing all the things, and learned so much, and the Stars Academy, and just the way I was welcomed in was phenomenal. It was just awesome. And it was all meant to be. It really was all meant to be that way. And now I know Kylie, I know all the little ins and outs of how Elite Realty works. And you know what? You guys are always a phone call away. If I feel like driving down to Livonia, I know the door would be opened and welcomed. And maybe I'd even get some Chick-fil-A or something that I don't get here. So
I will tell you, the last time I was in Livonia, Kim got this chicken thing from a new chicken place, and she gave me a bite. And I was like, I would drive here for this chicken. Like, I need to know what is up here. I remember when it was last year when Ryan and I left, he was like, dang, man, that Kevin is a cool guy. I like, cause we know Rebecca and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, he's like, you let my husband corner you and talk all of the hunting. Look at these. No, he's not. He's like, yes, you did let him corner me.
But yeah. I love that you shared that story, because there's somebody out there listening who has just like you failed the test and needs to go back out there. You know, I love that you said, you know what, there has to be a different way for me personally to learn a little different and better. And that's so true. Like some people, like I'm a flashcard girl or a written girl. I could hear it a lot of times, but if I don't write it out, I don't get it.
It won't stick. I'm the
same.
And
so that's super great info to share, that like, if you aren't doing it this way, there's other ways to do it and to have that resilience and to try again, because it's worth it. And that last try made you Rookie of the Year. It put you and Rebecca into this amazing partnership that you guys are moving forward, working together. And when she was on, she shared some fun stories that she's come through working small town real estate. So do you have a fun story to share with us from your time in the trenches? Something funny, scary, silly?
Yeah, Rebecca told us about bodies in freezers. So
bodies in freezers. Well, with the Ed Gein stuff being hot right now, I don't have any Ed Gein for you. You'll see a lot of dead animals on walls and things like that.
That tracks.
I would tend to say that I don't have a crazy story, but I do have just general small town stories. So rewind time to probably 2007, 2008, 2017, 2018. I was working as a social worker at a nursing home. So you're talking almost 10 years ago now. And just, I met this family. We were taking care of dad. And dad, you know, I built this great relationship with family. And, you know, time goes on. I leave the facility. I go somewhere else. Dad passed away after so long. And that was prior to me leaving. So I got to see life go through for them, you know. I got to see, you know, family there during the end times and during the birthday times and stuff like that. So I've lived life with this family. And then I move on and I do my own thing. And all of a sudden, you know, mom's sick and mom's in a home and mom is not doing well. And it's time. It's time for the home to go. And I'm just blessed enough that they called me and I'm like, yeah, I have my real estate license. I can help you guys out. What do you need? What can I do? And it was a really big family situation. So there was like four siblings involved. One's in Colorado, one's in Florida, one's here, one's there, you know, and then just a bunch of extra stuff, right? There's all these extra things. And so just being able to work through that transaction was pretty awesome. So as it all worked out, I got to sell a home of a family that I met through personal life. And I can even remember seeing this gentleman in the stands of the basketball games and the football games when I was young, 4, 5, 6 years old. So I lived an entire life. I watched this man grow up and get sick and live the good life. And I watched the wife, you know, grieve and the family grieve. I feel like I've known this whole family for the 33 years that I've been on this earth. And then I got to sell their home. And it just so happened that I sold the home to someone that I currently work with. And it all just kind of worked out that way. That's how small town America works up here, is somebody knows somebody or somebody knows one of my relatives, or we all know somebody in some facet. But I think that that transaction alone just kind of really sat out to me. That was awesome. And I've done that almost 2 or 3 times now, just people that I've worked with in my past. And I'm talking 5, 10 years ago that call me and, hey, you sell real estate? Great. Let me, I want to work with you. I want to talk to you. Just a lot of word of mouth up here. And, you know, talking about Ryan and our interaction last year at the Christmas party, that's what I want to be as a realtor. I want you to remember who I am. If you watch this podcast 20 years from now, I want you to call me, even if I'm old and gray. Hey, do you still sell real estate? Because I kind of want to talk to you. Just because of that one interaction that I got, because one interaction in life can just, it can traject your whole life into a different area. You know, meeting Rebecca was wonderful and that's opened up so many doors and so many things have gone full circle for us. And, you know, I would have to say that was one of the greatest things. And another one too, a guy called me because he had tried, I think one, he had tried a real estate company in Cass City. And it didn't work out. It just didn't work out. And he was struggling because he had already moved. His home was up here. Kevin, what can you do for me? Nobody can sell this house. It's unsellable. Give me a call. I'll take pictures. What can we do? And we made it happen, right? I met them where they were. I was able to sell the house that somebody in town was not able to sell prior to me, which I feel like really boosted my confidence. Yeah. Right. You know, I'm the local guy, but I have Livonia ties and Macomb County ties and Detroit Metro ties. I have ties everywhere. And it was just awesome. It was really great. And, you know, those are a couple of stories that really stick out to me from my real estate career. I wouldn't say it's the scary and the ugly and the spooky like we are around Halloween time now, but it's more of the Christmas, the gifting and the receiving and the blessing. So those would be my two favorite stories, I would say, as we've gone on in real estate.
Yeah, that's a blessing because real estate is very personal.
It really is.
When you've lost somebody, there's so many emotions that are going through that. And to have somebody like you that they know actually personally cares, that is such a gift. Such a gift.
And that kind of brings me to my next question of you have so many hats on.
How have you been able to take your real estate, your license, and integrate that into the other areas of your life in order to grow your real estate business with it being such like a small pond, like we said? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the pond is pretty small. Sometimes it's pretty shallow around here, but I try to dabble in a lot of things. So I'm a social worker. I'm a part of my Rotary Club in town. So I volunteer for my community. I'm a part of the Chamber of Commerce. I'm a part of the Cassidy Promise, which is another committee that we do to try to bless the students at Cassidy Junior Senior High School and all of Cassidy Public Schools. I am a part of the village council, so I know kind of the law stuff going on and the ordinances and all that. I'm a wrestling coach. I'm a dad. I carry a lot of hats, like you said. But in regards to that, I'm always a realtor, but I'm always me first. So being me first is, I'm not going to come at you and say, hi, Kylie. Hi, Trish. I'm Kevin. I'm a realtor. If you have any houses for sale or you need any real estate help, please reach out. That's not my first conversation. My first conversation is, where are you at? If you're here for wrestling, I'm going to teach you wrestling. I'm going to show you my values, my morals, my intensity as a coach, right? I draw the line. You're going to listen when I listen, and I'm going to bark at you. I do it out of love, and I'm going to tell you I do it out of love. But I'm me first, meaning I am who I am. I stand by my values. I stand by all those things. And hey, by the way, I am a realtor. So if you do need anything, then you can give me a call. And if you don't call me, I'm not going to take it personal, because you didn't come to talk to me about real estate first. You came to talk to me about social work. You came to talk to me about the village of Cassidy. You came to talk to me about buying a purse at a silent auction that I was at, right? That was me first. That is where your time was. That's where my time and energy is going to be. But if you need me for anything, here's my phone number. Here's my email. Here's how you can contact me. If you see me driving around town, I drive a 6-seater golf cart. It's white and it has maroon seats. So flag me down, whatever you need. And those people talk to other people. You know, I've gotten a lot of leads from, you know, parents of people that I've coached, people that I've dealt with at school, you know, and that's where I get a lot of my clientele, I feel like, is just word of mouth. Again, you know, Kevin's great. He does a lot of these things. And I'm not here to really toot my horn. I'm just here to toot the people's horn that are willing to call me even after. It's not about real estate. I'm not here to talk to you about real estate. I'm here to talk to you about where you're at in life. If you're here and your car's breaking down, I want to know about that first. If you're in a bad spot and you need your house sold, I'll help you. I'm there for you. Whatever you need. If you need a hug, I'll give you that. If you need your house sold, I'll give you that. If you just need advice, I'm there for that. Whatever I can do to make your day better, that's what's important to me. Not getting a commission, not getting a lead, not getting, you know, I've sold 3 houses this year. I've done 3 transactions and I'm okay with that. If I wouldn't have told you that, you might have thought I sold 23 like Rebecca. And kudos to her. I try to preach to her every day that I'm proud of her and all the things she does and how good she is at what she does, because I know there's going to be a day where that shoe might be on my foot, where I need her to do that for me because I'm so overwhelmed with business. And I'm hoping to get to that point someday, but I'm not there and I'm okay with that. I'm where I'm at, and people meet me where I'm at, and I meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You're like a hometown hero. I feel like I should give you a cape to wear with your golf cart.
We need a Kevin parade.
Let's do it.
We need a Kevin parade.
So what brought you to wrestling? That just popped in my mind and I'm curious. Yeah. Why wrestling? Tell us about that.
So wrestling, my dad was a wrestler back in the 70s. He graduated in 77, really good wrestler. So obviously my brothers grew up wrestling. I grew up wrestling, and wrestling's just kind of been part of my life. So we kind of just have these roots that run deep in wrestling in my family. And so back in 2019, I was approached by a group of people and they said, hey, we are going to start a youth wrestling club. It is going to be called the Cassidy Talons, and we need a head coach, and we think you are the guy. So me being me, back in 2019, gosh, I was young and just as wet behind the ears, as they would say up here where I'm come from. And so I was like, yeah, absolutely. Here's another challenge. Here's something that I feel like I could really thrive and be great at. And again, another avenue of life that would be good for me. So I accepted, and here we are. We're going into our seventh wrestling season as a club. So we started I started a wrestling club. I think that's where my love comes deeper now rather than competing. I mean, I enjoyed competing, but I really wasn't as successful as I wanted to be. And now I can't compete on a high level anymore, but I can reciprocate that to these youth wrestlers, which are 4 years old all the way up to 14. And I even dabble into varsity and junior high as well. But, you know, just to kind of make them successful, get them where I want to be. I now live through their successes. And, you know, I get a lot of satisfaction. I get a lot of just personal growth. And I've seen kids struggle. I've seen them quit. And, you know, I thank them for their time. And wrestling's tough. Wrestling teaches you a lot of life lessons. That's what I love a lot about the sport is you're using your whole body all the time. It's mentally grueling, physically grueling. It's a grind. Wrestling is a grind. And that's how I attack life. I attack life. I grind. I try to work really hard. I don't cut any corners. I don't want to cut a corner. If it's 25 pushups, I'm going to make sure I do 25 good pushups, not 12 and call it good. Because if I do that as a coach, if I do that as an athlete, if you do that as an athlete or my athlete, that tells me when you get hired from Elite Realty, you're not going to go all the way. You're going to cut a corner. You're going to make someone else do something that you don't want to do. And in life, we have to do things we don't want to do sometimes. And wrestling just really brings that out in people. It's tough. It's gritty. It's a grind. You win some, you lose some. You got to have a short memory sometimes because you might lose a match and then you got another one in another 20 minutes. You got to prepare for that. You got to be mentally tough. And I try to just teach mental toughness and being strong and being gritty. And that's how I try to attack my life is the same mindset and mantra is, you know, just be gritty and work hard and be dedicated, be disciplined. And in the end, you'll be victorious in whatever you do.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Woo!
So I'm curious, we like to sometimes share resources with you balancing all these things. Is there a certain
tool, like app,
calendar? What do you use to stay organized?
So I use my Google Calendar for work. That's where I put a lot of my work stuff, but I actually have a calendar. I have an iPhone, so I just use my calendar app, and I have black is real estate. Blue is for me personally. Orange is going to be for probably a together event with Rebecca. And then I have what Rebecca's doing as well, all attached to our calendar. So her and I can kind of work in unison on what we're doing, where we're going to be, how we're going to do it. And that's been super, super helpful in regards to just staying organized. That Google Calendar and that Apple Calendar are always at my ready. You know, my mom will ask me on a Sunday, all right, what does this week look like? What do you got going on? So if I need some babysitting help or anything like that, she's there, she's available. Where's Carson going to be? What's he going to be up to? That kind of thing. So I would just say I utilize what I have available to the best of my knowledge, right? I have all the apps on my phone that I need to be a realtor if I need to be a realtor. I have all the apps on my phone that I need to be a wrestling coach. I have all the apps on my phone. Because these phones, you know, if it's available and appropriate for the scenario, I'm going to use it. And, you know, I'm no smarter than anybody else, but I'm a firm believer in we have the tools available. We just got to figure it out sometimes. My phone's not my laptop, but I can get something started. I can do it. And then when I get where I need to be, really knock it out and do what I need to do.
Yeah, Google Calendar for the win.
I love that you color code things. Like when she first started telling me about color coding, like we've talked on the show, her calendar looks like rainbow bright, threw up all over it.
And it sounds like yours does too. So it's perfect.
And like we're not alone. Like my girlfriend, we were making plans. This was a little while ago. And she's a pen and paper gal. And like, I love that for her. I can't live that way. I'll lose that pen and paper between here and there.
And so I pulled up my calendar one day. She's like, what are all these colors? What's happening? I'm like, that's what I'm doing. That's what Ryan's doing. That's what we're having for dinner. This is what Casey and Kai are doing. Here's what Everett's doing. Here's stuff I don't need to do that someone else is doing. And she's like, that's a lot. I'm like, this is how I sleep at night. Mm-hmm. And you're crazy. Let me ask you this. Okay. At the end of the day, do you delete your stuff off?
Absolutely not.
Oh, see, you're a psycho.
I do not, only because I have many, many times, in order to win an argument or lose an argument, I have to go back and I have to check.
See?
I delete as I go. She deletes. At the end of the day, my day is empty.
Check it off. I respect that.
I'm like, girl, I'll make them gray. I'm like, let's leave them on, but pick a color so we know that they're done. Gray, green, like whatever got done. But my God in heaven, Lord, love a duck. Don't delete it.
No, I got to go.
Don't delete it.
I've handled it and I move on to the next thing.
She deletes tech. Oh, Lord, I don't know how you live.
All right. I'm curious, Kevin, if you think ahead 5 to 10 years, like what kind of legacy are you looking to leave? Like you have so many amazing, impactful things you're doing in the community and your personal life and real estate all over. What do you want the world to say later about you?
I just want to be known as a good guy, right? I just want to be known as the guy that did the right thing. You know, sometimes that was a hard decision to make. Hey, did you or did you not do this? And if I have to be honest and say, no, I did not call that person. I just want to be known and left the legacy of just a guy that not really came from anything, but did the best he could with what he had, respected everyone, even when, you know, some people don't deserve respect because they treat you so poorly, but just working as hard as I possibly can and being a good guy. Just being a good guy means a lot to me. When somebody just says, Kevin, you're a good guy, I don't need a trophy. I don't need a medal. Sometimes I don't even need people to say that, but when they do, it just makes you feel good, you know? Because I know I'm a good guy. I really try very, very hard to be friends with people or kind to people or whoever, even if I know they don't like me. I know they don't like my parents or whatever the case may be. Maybe they had a bad interaction with something or someone or something like that. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in karma as well. So I never want somebody to feel like I did them wrong. I always want to feel like even if we were not successful in something that we tried, we did the best we could. And you know what? If your tire's flat and my tire's flat, we're in it together. Just being a good guy in general. That's important to me. I don't need to have $1 million and a statue at the end of town and the mayor from 2025 all the way to 2055. I don't need that. I just want people, if they talk about me, talk about Kevin, he was just a good guy and I appreciated him.
Well, I think you have already fulfilled that because we think you are the best. I don't, when you said if people don't like me, I'm like, how could somebody not like you? You're like,
I don't know a single person who doesn't like you.
You were the talk of the town after the Christmas. Everybody's like, Kevin with 2 V's is the most amazing guy ever. So you're succeeding at that legacy. And I'm curious if you could go back and tell 15-year-old Kevin something, what would you tell your 15-year-old self?
That's a great question. If I could go back then, I would put my mindset now in my body then, right? I've always been kind of this way and I've seen it reciprocate as well. You know, how many of us have talked to that person in our class who was a nerd or just a little different, a little off, right? But you knew deep down at some point in their life, they were going to end up being something or somewhere or whatever. And I've always feel like I've done a good enough job to make those people who are, let's say, the outcast or the outsider, let them know that they exist, right? Hey, how are you? Michael, how's it going today? Great to see you. And he might be the most antisocial kid on earth. And that's okay, right? I just want you to know, Michael, I see you. I know you're here. And I'm glad you're here, buddy. I don't care if you're getting C's, D's, and E's because you just don't get it and you just don't care. I just want you to know that. And I feel like as time has gone on, you know, I've ran into those people like, Kevin, I always appreciated you for being kind to me at school. You know, a lot of people didn't want to talk to me and you did. And I don't have to be interested in hockey to relate to you, Trish. I love hockey through you. I support you. I think your kid doing what he's doing is awesome. I've been following whatever you post and Andy and I think that's awesome. Am I going to go out and play hockey? Heck no, I can't skate. I can't do that.
He goes, heck no.
But I know that means a lot to you. And if that means a lot to you, that means a lot to me, because you're a relationship that I have. We may talk twice, two or three times a year, and that's okay. I want to have a relationship with you, regardless of whatever that is. And to just to wrap up that question, to circle back around to me at 15, you know, I would just put what I know now in my head and just say, it's going to be okay. But again, there's some things I wouldn't change. I'm going to say hell on this. You can edit that out, whatever you want to do. But I've been through hell in certain ways, right? Bad custody battle to be a single dad and just making choices that to some people are really minuscule, but you know, maybe it's lying to my parents or sneaking out and taking my dad's car when I shouldn't have done that. You know, nothing bad happened. I wasn't doing anything really out of the ordinary. I would just say, do it better, I guess. Kevin, do it better. You can do it better. If I could get that in a more positive route, I feel like I was told that as a kid, but it didn't go the direction I wanted it to, whether it was athletics or professionalism or whatever. I know I had always high expectations for myself, but then I would cut myself short. So if I could say anything, Kevin, do it better. Even if you're getting all A's, still do it better. Because you can always do it better at 33. You can always do it better at 45. You can always do it better at the 15th year you've been in real estate. Whatever the case may be, just do it better.
Oh, I love that.
Good.
Yeah. Speaking of young boys, what's your favorite thing to do with Carson? What's your favorite father-son activity?
So Carson, he loves sports. He's a big sports guy. So we love to play catch. He loves playing catch. I would say that's his favorite thing to do. He is a diehard fan of NFL football in general. He just loves sports. I mean, since he was really, really little, we've just been out in the yard playing catch with baseball or football, or it doesn't matter if it's taking a bouncy ball and making a game out of it. He wants to do that. I enjoy doing that with him. I enjoy being a part of his upbringing in every way that I can, because being a parent is important. I would say out of all the hats that I wear in life, being dad is number one. That is my favorite thing. I love watching him grow. I love the new stuff that happens, even the challenging stuff. He just grows up so much. And I love just being dad in general. We play video games. He loves hunting. Hunter Call of the Wild is our thing. I'm really big into his YouTube guys. So like Kendall Gray and Fishing with Tate. So these are just some regular average Joes just out back in their pond fishing and buying stupid stuff from Dollar General to see if it catches fish. And oh my gosh, it is the silliest stuff, but he loves it. And I just love that I can enjoy that with him and we can talk about it. And a highlight of ours over in Bay City, Michigan, these YouTubers were coming and we're like, okay, I wasn't going to really tell him that, but one of our friends ran into them and he was like, Dad, what are you? All right. So one Saturday or Sunday, we flew over to Bay City, which is about a 45-minute drive. And golly, we met these guys and I'm telling you, we still talk about it. And just doing those things with at father-son bonding, whether it's hunting in a hunting stand or fishing or whatever he wants to do for that day. I just love it. I love doing that. I love being around him. Does he annoy me and get under my skin? Of course, but it's part of parenting. And I would have to just say that being parent and being dad is my number one role of all of them. You can take everything else away. Just don't take away my dad role.
Aww, amen.
Yeah.
Look at your heart. You have the best heart, Kevin.
Yeah. So fun fact, I got more fun facts for you. So when I was probably four or five, maybe three, I don't know, young, my childhood nickname and my parents and my siblings still kind of call me this as to this day. And mind you, when I was four or five, the Titanic came out and I probably went into theaters and watched that as a young kid. So wouldn't recommend that now to any 4 or 5 year olds, but that's the generation I grew up in. I'm a 90s yes. child, but my nickname is Sappy. So I'm a very sappy guy. I just love to be sappy. I love to make people emotional and really bring out feelings in people. And that was shown at a very young age, obviously, because I've been called sappy since I can remember. And that's mostly from my siblings because they saw me the most and that. But sappy, that's my secret for this podcast is if you watch it, you're going to figure out what Kevin's childhood nickname is. And I still get called sap or sappy by my peers and my family still to this day.
Well, we're going to keep that one in our back
pocket. Oh, yeah. That's why you and Ryan vibe so hard is because he's the empath at our house. Like, when the kids get hurt, he's the first one that's like, oh, baby, are you okay? And I'm like, I told you that was going to happen 5 minutes ago when I told you to get down from there. We're so glad to have you part of our lives, for
sure. Yeah. What is there anything else we haven't touched on that you wanted to share with the show and the community at large?
I just want to share the greatness of Elite, right? I feel like even living up here in Cass City, a lot of people are putting Elite on a lot of things. Elite is a really, really great brand. It's a great name. But, you know, there's like Elite Concrete up here and there's Elite, you know, title company and all this stuff, right? But Elite Realty is truly elite. You guys do a great job of just guiding people. You educate people. You hold yourself to that high standard that I love. You know, it's all professionalism. It's all just, you guys are top notch. And I'm really proud to be a part of Elite. I know Rebecca and I, we've seen people come and we've seen people go. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those people, truly. I really don't want to be one of those people. I want to be here. I want to be a part of the changes, a part of the new stuff. I want to be a part of that. And I'm thankful so much to be a part of that. And, you know, hearing your guys' story, hey, we started at a Denny's. We sat down and this is what was going on. And it was a group of people. And I've been there with the Cassidy Talents Youth Wrestling Club. We met at a bar and started talking. And by golly, just people putting their mind and energy and effort into all one thing. Just Elite in general. I tell people where I work and they have no idea what I'm talking about because it's not someplace they see every single day. I'm really thankful to work at Elite, and Elite is Elite. Elite is something that I utilize in my everyday verbiage, but I use it I mean it with the most utmost respect, right? I don't care who you are. You can be Elite. There is good, great, fantastic, magical, whatever acronym you want to use, but I feel like whoever decided that Elite, Trish, maybe it's you, maybe it's Andy, I don't know, but I'm going to give all the credit to you. Elite is just, Elite is a standard. It's a very high standard. And I feel like Elite Realty does it well. Elite Podcast does it well. And just being Elite is something that's, it's not just a name. It's something that you are. It's something that you do. And you guys do a great job of giving people that vibe. And then just the people that buy in. I've bought in. I have drank the Kool-Aid, as they say. I am bought into the Elite life, right? Obviously, I live in a small town of 2,500 people, and there are three real estate companies in my town of 2,500. So I have three options that I could go to within probably 10 or 15 miles. But I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. I love Livonia. I love the elite crew. And, you know, like I said earlier, you guys have invited me in and just made me feel welcome. And you gave me that chance, right? Passing the test was the first part, but when you pass the test, you got to have somebody believe in you. You have to have somebody that wants to open their door to you. Put your number on the wall, your title, your license, that stuff on the wall, and you represent them. And you guys did that to me without really even giving me an interview. And I'm so appreciative for that. So if anything, Elite is Elite. And yeah, it's just great.
Well, thank you so much. We are so grateful for you and Rebecca. And I will tell you, having agents like you and her that are grateful for all of the heart and soul that we put in the company, like you make all the hard days worth it. So I'm so grateful for everything that you just said. And so we feel so blessed to have you.
Yeah, we love that you're out there representing Elite Realty. Forget those other guys. They don't know nothing about nothing.
That's right.
Oh, do we ask one fun question before we
go? All right. Well, Kylie likes to ask fun questions, so I'm going to let her take the floor.
Ask away. I'm an open book, as you can tell.
This is my favorite question because I feel like it's very revealing. So
Who is your favorite villain and why? It could be comic books, movies, fairy tales. You got to give me a villain. You got to tell me why.
My favorite villain. Well, I'm going to give you two. Only because fun fact about me, and I love my fun facts. I love pop culture. Pop culture is life. Pop culture is what I grew up with. So I spent most of my childhood in front of a television watching 80s, 90s, same. 70s movies on repeat, right?
Yeah.
So I would have to say one of them has to be, it's got to be Harry and Marv from Home Alone. They are a couple of my two favorites. I love to laugh. And I love that. I have always felt like Kevin Dorland is Kevin McAllister. I could take care of these two villains, but I know Joe Pesci and I know those guys secretly behind the scenes. That's not who they are, but they were villains of just that. Those are cult classics to me. Another one that sticks out to me is the Goonies. So the Fratellis are really hit home to me. If it had to be maybe a comic book character, the only one that kind of comes to my mind would be like a Batman series. So it'd either be like Bane or it would be like Joker, not due to their like morbidity, but I love analogies and tying things together. Like, you know, it's hotter than a witch's tit in a brass bra. You know what I mean? It's so hot, right? Us up north elite, we live our lives, or at least I live my life by things like that. And the Joker's always kind of spinning things around. I like, you don't have to tell me, Kevin, the house is purple, right? You can, you know, if it looks something straight out of a comic book. And that's where, you know, I love things that catch my curiosity. And I would say the Joker does a really good job of that. Bane, only because he's massive. I love big athletic, scary dudes. And just old pop culture villains like Marv and Harry from Home Alone, those cult classics that never die, and Goonies, because Goonies never say die, and the Truffle right. Shuffle and all that fun stuff. Just that pop culture. Those are my villains of my childhood.
So I'm just going to throw something out there. We are recording this right before Halloween. I think that you and Rebecca would make a great Bane and Poison Ivy. Tell me I'm wrong.
Definitely.
Tell me I'm wrong.
And all I hear right now in my head is, hey, you guys.
Yeah, sloth. We could be sloth. Definitely.
I love it. I love it. This was so much fun, dude. I'm so glad you came on.
Yeah.
Oh, before we wrap too, anybody that is looking for a realtor that is in or around Cass City, let me know how they can find you.
Yeah.
So I have a Facebook page. It's Kevin Dorland Realtor. You can like me on there. You can text me or call me 989-274-6512, or you can email me at Kevin, that's K-E-V-V-E-N, at EliteRealtyMI.com. Again, Kevin with two V's. That is not a W. When you type it in, it may look really funny. Don't let that fool you. It's probably easiest to text me or call me because my name is spelled so funny and it's phonetically correct, my mother says. And she does teach school, second grade. Shout out to my mom. But yes, Kevin Dorland, there's only one of them around. If you look me up, you will find me.
I love it.
Thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Yes, absolutely. We get to interact with you just a couple times. We need like a quarterly meeting of all the people. So it is always a pleasure when we get to have a chit chat and spend some time with you.
Yeah, and it's getting close to December, and that means the Christmas party. I'm hoping to win the TV this year. That's my goal.
I'm going for the pizza oven. I need a pizza oven in my house because Green Lantern is getting all of my pizza money.
And maybe instead of my performance on the real estate front, maybe I could get the Best Elite Life podcast quotes or something. Maybe you guys could get real creative with a trophy, because obviously I know Rebecca's going to get something pretty special, but I know you guys are creative and I'm excited to be seeing you guys in December. I always look forward to doing that and being around you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you so much.
All right, our Elite Life fam, thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. Make sure you throw a comment wherever you're listening and you subscribe to the show so you don't miss a thing, because we drop a fresh episode every Thursday here on the Elite Life.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie.
Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.